Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask, Lord, that you impress on us the urgency for effectual, fervent prayer today. It is so needed. And things fail when your people don't pray, Lord, and they don't realize that. And we just ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to do this. Amen. All right. You know, the supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. Right? You have not because you ask not. Right? This first revelation was given to Eve Brast. And we called it Pray Life for the Spiritually Starving. So much of the church is spiritually starving. They are weak in the ways of the Lord. They are failing in the ways of the Lord. They comfort themselves in apostate Christianity, that they don't have to be anything or do anything. And this is all wrong, because if anybody abides in him, the Bible says, let him walk as he walked. We are called to walk in the steps of Jesus. And Eve said, I dreamed that I was in the living room of the left mobile home on the land of my father. There was two mobile homes on that, but the left one that had given to me down in Texas. And I believe the left mobile home in past dreams has always represented the stubborn goats among God's people. She said, my husband, Eddie, meaning a wealthy protector, in other words, Eddie represents Jesus, the husband of the bride, Eve, in this case. Had told me to start packing because we were going to leave soon. And I believe that this may represent leaving to the wilderness, tribulation. So I was praying and interceding as I packed up boxes. I felt in my spirit that something bad was going to happen. And of course, we've already been told so many times by the Lord that the judgments that prepare the wilderness tribulation are upon us. She said, suddenly, Eddie came into the living room and said, come with me. And he took me by the hand and led me into the kitchen. As I entered the kitchen, I saw down the darkened hallway a long line of people that disappeared into the darkness further back. Eddie led me into a secret room behind the kitchen. Once I was inside the room, the walls of it became transparent, and I knew I could see everyone, but they couldn't see me. Well, the kitchen, in this case, was lit up, and it's a place of spiritual food that is prepared. And here we see a long line of people in darkness waiting to be served in the light. And there are. Christianity is that way right now. A long line of spiritually needy people because their leadership has not told them the truth, but it made it easy on them in order to come to church and just pay their tithes and be happy and so on and so forth. They're traitors. Eddie then handed me a thick stack of $100 bills, about 6 to 8 inches thick. I was shocked to see that much money. I didn't know we had that much. The Lord's got it all, doesn't he? He said to me, I want you to go and buy bread with this. And I knew in the dream that it was to feed the people with. You know, we do buy of the Lord in a way, because we give up our life in order to have the bread of life. Many people don't do that. They're too happy spending their life in the world and not really feeding on the Word in order to be a vessel through which it can flow, right? Well, the bread and the flesh of Jesus is the Word that gives life. John 6 and 50 says, "This is the bread which cometh down out of heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." 51, "I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yea, and the bread which I give is my flesh." So we got bread and flesh representing the same thing. "For the life of the world." The Lord has given his bread, this word of God, for the life of the world. And of course, we have been called to the Great Commission to give them that bread. Revelation 19 and 13 says, "And he is arrayed in a garment sprinkled with blood, and his name is called the Word of God." So his flesh is the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. John 1 and 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And 14, "And the Word became flesh." So there you have it. "And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." So, we have much Word prepared, many people have, and much Word in hearts even, and it's time to share it. And one way we get it across is, of course, to pray, because it's God that has to do it. He's the Savior. She said, "Then I saw very cruel, demonic-looking taskmasters dressed like Egyptians. They had chained all those people who were in the dark hallway together with shackles and chains. They had whips and were yelling at the people to move and cracking the whips at them. And as the people moved slowly out from the hallway and out the kitchen door," well, they didn't ever get served, did they? "I noticed that they were dressed like slaves going into hard task work." Of course, this is a picture of God's people still in Egypt, not having been delivered, not having gone through the Red Sea to bring down their tormentors and the old man in the baptism. Okay? And the slaves did not know rest from their own laborers or works through faith. Much of Christianity does not understand the rest that we've been given by Jesus Christ. They have to be, this has to be prayed to them. And of course, these are the demonized people of God who are driven away from the Word of life by their old man and by their Pharisaical leadership. Matthew 23 and 13 appropriately says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven against men. For you enter not in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to enter." Of course, they were waiting in this dark hallway for their food that was prepared, and their Pharisees guided them in the wrong direction, right? "I saw a very old, blackened woman who was gray-headed and toothless cry out in agony as the tormentors goaded her forward." Well, you know, famine causes blackness of the skin, and famine of the Word causes blackness as a type of unrighteousness, too. Some Christians are old in the Lord, but are almost spiritually dead because of a lack of spiritual nourishment of the true word. Toothless represents here that they're not able to partake of the meat of the word, which Jesus said was the ability to do the works of the Father. John 4 and 34 says, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to accomplish his work. Amen. You know, his work is for us to rest in faith, believing. And they said, What must we do to the works of God? He said, Believe on him whom he has sent. There's no other way to do the works of God, right? Our biggest work is prayer and faith. And of course, with prayer and faith, you also will be able to walk in the steps of Jesus. Amen. She turned and faced my direction, and I began to pray for her, sympathizing with her agony. And then I realized that I was holding a loaf of bread, and I prayed that bread into her shackled arms. It translated from my hands to hers. And this is when I woke up. Clearly, Father is telling us that we can pray that the spiritually starving brethren would receive the revelation of the true word that gives life, and that our brethren who are captured in Babylonish backslidden religion will seek the truth. Let's do it. Okay, this is a word from God. Let's do it. Eve asked the Father for a word for this dream and received Amos 5 and 8 with her finger on, called for the waters of the sea. Yes, we need to do that. Call for the waters of the sea to wash away the old man who keeps the new man in bondage. And she said the whole chapter fits this dream. Yeah, the plague of the poor people that don't know the wonderful meal that God has set before them. Amos 5 and 1. Hear ye this word which I take up for lamentation over you, O house of Israel. Of course, in Israel in the Old Testament was a type and a shadow of the backslidden church in the New Testament. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is cast down upon her land. There is none to raise her up. True, all the leaders that they proclaim to be great leaders are not able to do it because they've never been raised up themselves. For thus saith the Lord, the city that went forth 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which went forth 100 shall have 10 left to the house of Israel. There's going to be a falling away, saints. People, when they don't get the food that they need, eventually get lured back into the world. There are jillions of them out there. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, Seek ye me, and you shall live. But seek not Bethel. Bethel was the house of God under Saul's leadership, right? Nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. And it did, because it had a very bad leadership. Seek the Lord, and you shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. In other words, seek the true Lord and the Word before judgment falls. Right? Ye who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth, seek him that maketh the Pleiades and Orion, that turneth the shadow of death into the morning and maketh the day dark with night. We just saw the Lord do that, didn't we? In the great eclipse. And calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. That bringeth sudden destruction upon the strong, so that destruction cometh upon the fortress. The things that people think are going to protect them are not and will not, and God won't permit it. Okay? When the righteous shall live from faith, and if he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That's what the Lord says. Verse 10. They hate him that reproveth in the gate. Well, that's right. The apostate leadership is just like the apostate leadership in Jesus' day. Any prophet or Jesus himself who came along to reprove them was hated. And they abhor, and it's the same today, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. For as much, therefore, as you trample under or trample upon the poor and take exactions from him of wheat. In other words, the false leadership puts their slaves under the law of the tithe to enrich themselves. But God has a better plan in the New Testament, and we've talked about it, and I'm not going to go into that right now. You have built houses of hewn stone, so they're living high off the hog, these evil leadership people. But ye shall not dwell in them. You have painted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink the wine thereof. For I know how manifold are your transgressions and how mighty are your sins. Ye that afflict the just, that take a bribe, and that turn aside the needy in the gate from their right. Notice that. Turn aside the needy in the gate from their right. They won't enter in. And they won't let their people enter in. Therefore, he that is prudent shall keep silence in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you say. Hate the evil, love the good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord wailing shall be in all the broad ways. The broad ways is the wide road, right? And they shall say in all the streets, alas, alas. And they shall call the husbandman to mourning, and such as are skillful in lamentation to wailing. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through the midst of thee, says the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! Wherefore would ye have the day of the Lord? It's darkness and not light. Well, you know, most of the church believed the day of the Lord will bring their rapture to escape tribulation. But what is coming now is a crucifixion of self, because they're not fit for heaven. And without prayer for them, many will fall away falsely believing the Lord was unfaithful when he didn't rapture them, right? And we are here to become Christ-like and fulfill the Great Commission. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it. I despise your feasts, and I will take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Yea, though ye offer me your burnt offerings and meal offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. Worship must be in spirit and in truth, and there's very little of that in the churches. They're singing along with each other, but there's no real worship from the heart. And worship, by the way, has to be, the word worship means to kiss towards. It has to be an act of love towards God. How do we love God if we're not keeping his commandments? Yeah. How can you worship if you're not keeping his commandments? But let justice roll down as waters. Oh my goodness, this is not what people want to see. They want to see grace. Let justice roll down as waters, the righteousness as a mighty stream. Did you bring unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? Oh, did you do that, O church of God? Yea, you have borne the tabernacle of your king and the shrine of your images, the star of your God. Everybody thought it was the Star of David, didn't they? No, it's not. Which you made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. And I asked for a word concerning the old blackened slave woman whom I prayed the bread into her arms and received Psalm 89 and 40, in context 30 through 50. Psalm 89 and 30. If his children forsake my law and walk not in mine ordinances, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod. Well, that doesn't sound like a rapture at all, does it? And their iniquity with stripes. But my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. And that was speaking about David. By the way, Jesus was David in his day. He was the true leadership, but the people were under the Pharisees and the Sadducees and totally deceived, and so it is in this day. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness, I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever. Okay, now we can see who that seed actually is. The true seed of David will endure the chastening and the trials to come in order to get right with the Lord. Right? We must pray for them. We must pray them into the kingdom. We must pray them understanding. We must pray for them. And his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon. Jesus is going to rule on the throne of David. He may rule in different bodies down through the ages as he has done, but he is the one that's ruling on the throne of David. And as the faithful witness in the sky, Selah. But thou hast cast off and rejected. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast abhorred the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all of his hedges. Jesus and every man-child throughout history has gone through this with the people that they were supposed to be bringing into the image of God, right? And thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin, and all that pass by the way rob him. He has become a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast exalted the right hand of his adversaries, and thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Yes, they rejoiced when they crucified Jesus, and when they crucified the prophets, and in the end time when they crucified the man-childs, right? Yea, thou turnest back the edge of his sword, and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his brightness to cease, and cast his throne down to the ground. The leadership that God is restoring is the leadership of David. But they all are first crucified, right? The man-child ministry. The days of his youth hast thou shortened, and thou hast covered him with shame. Selah. How long, O Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? How long shall thy wrath burn like fire? O, remember how short my time is, for what vanity hast thou created all the children of men? What man is he that shall live and not see death, that shall deliver his soul from the power of Sheol? Selah. Who is going to overcome where the last enemy is conquered, which is death, right? It's not man, is it? It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy faithfulness? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty peoples. And so it is today. And she said, this morning I received Deuteronomy 28 and 47 in context 45 through 50. And this text reminded me of this dream. This is the very next thing she received. Deuteronomy 28:45, and all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee. Reminds you of that blackened woman, right? Shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not to the voice of the Lord thy God. Now this is what we're supposed to be praying them into here, right? To keep his commandments and his statutes which he commands thee. They don't even know that this is a necessity. This is the need. We must pray this into their hands. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart by reason of the abundance of all things. Oh yes, God has mightily blessed his people. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, that the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord will bring a nation against thee from far, from the ends of the earth, as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance that shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. We have to pray the word into their hands that they will survive this or totally miss out on this. Yeah. And Holly Moody, in January the 28th, 2000, received this, which she called, Why Should We Pray? A vision of the judgment seat of God. You realize how many people who call themselves Christians will not escape the judgment seat of God? She said, I saw the Lord sitting on a large white throne. A long, long line of people were gathered before him. I was bewildered by the fact that all these people had no face. Where their face should have been, there was just a blank. Each time a person came before the Lord, he would open up a book and read out of it all the things that this person had done. Everything was recorded, and the Lord read the whole book from beginning to end. Every person in this particular line was being judged and condemned to hell. Each time the Lord would tell each person they were condemned. And the person would begin to scream and cry and beg the Lord for just one more chance. The Lord had tears rolling down his own cheeks, but would shake his head, telling each person that they had had plenty of opportunities to repent and live for him. This went on for quite some time. Finally, the Lord looked over at me and asked me, Why aren't you doing anything? I was confused. What would you have me to do, Lord? I replied. Pray, the Lord replied. So I began to pray, but not fervently. After a short time of this, the Lord turned to me with concern and said, Look at these people. Really, look at them. And as I did so, their faces came into focus. They became people I knew vaguely. They were acquaintances. I began to pray a bit more fervently for them. And after a time, the Lord turned to me again with stronger sternness and said, Look at these people once again. Now the people became friends. You must pray harder, the Lord admonished me. I began to pray a bit harder. But still, the long line of people would come before the Lord. He would read them their life story from their own personal book and then be condemned. Once again, the Lord turned to me, this time in anger. He was still weeping over the souls who were being condemned. Do you really understand and comprehend what is happening here? Just think that the Lord is speaking to us here, obviously, you know. He wants us to know the seriousness of eternal life, and that so many people are missing it because they're not bearing the fruit of Jesus 30, 60, and 100-fold. Do you really understand and comprehend what is happening here? The Lord asked me. Behold, then a hole opened up behind the long line of people. I glanced towards the hole. There was an awful darkness coming from it. I heard screams and shouts and wails and moans coming from the hole. Go and look, the Lord commanded me. I didn't want to. I was scared. But it was as if a hand were at my back, forcing me to the edge of this black hole. And when I reached the edge of this black hole, I glanced down in it. Then I drew back in terror and horror. I could see down the black hole. It appeared to be a long descending tunnel. I could see a seething, roiling mass of people at the bottom of this hole. They were so crowded together they appeared to have no space between them at all. And there were flames and a red-orange glow coming from the bottom of this black hole. I smelled sulfur. I saw fire and flames. I felt the intense heat of the fire. I saw maggots crawling all over the bodies of the people at the bottom of the black hole. For the Bible says their worm dieth not. Right? The people were on fire, yet were not being consumed by the fire. But they were screaming out in agony and pain from the fire. They were looking up towards the opening of the black hole. Their hands and arms were raised upwards. They were shifting and moving relentlessly like huge waves. And they were screaming for deliverance, for mercy. But there was no mercy. There was no deliverance. Contrary to ultimate reconciliation of the all, and contrary to once saved, always saved, and contrary to a lot of other lies people have been told, I drew back from the edge of the black hole in terror and horror and despair. I turned back towards the Lord sitting on his throne. He was still reading from the books. Now I saw a large, endless stack of books piled next to his throne, and I knew that every one of the people who those books were written about were going to be condemned. I looked at the long, endless line of people gathered before the Lord, waiting to be judged. Now I saw every face clearly. They were my friends, my family, my relatives, and they were being condemned. And I saw them being cast into the black hole, and I heard them as they screamed as they fell down the long tunnel. And the Lord turned to me with tears streaming down his cheeks and said, "Now pray." I began to weep and scream out to God to have mercy on these people. As each person was condemned, I ran to the edge of the black hole and tried to pull them back out of the black hole. I would grab their hands and arms and try to hold on to them, but they would slip from my grasp. I was beside myself, trying desperately to keep these people that I love from going down the black hole. I reached out and grasped onto the Lord, and then reached down with my other arm into the black hole to try and grab people out of the black hole. Let go, the Lord told me. If I let go of you, I'll go into the hole myself, I protested. Let go, the Lord said again. I let go. It was as if Unseen hands were holding on to me. I laid down next to the edge of the black hole, reached down inside of it, trying to grab hold of and grasp onto the people who were falling down into the black hole. I felt like I myself was being burned from the fire and the flames. At times I felt as if claws reached out from the black hole and struck at me. I felt burns on my arms and saw scratches appear on my arms. I was weeping and calling out to God for deliverance of these my loved ones. I was begging God to have mercy on my loved ones and not to condemn them to the black hole. It's easier to pray for the lost when they are your own loved ones, the Lord said to me. Remember, all the lost are my loved ones. I want my children to begin to pray for these, my lost children, as you are praying for them now. I would raise up a generation of intercessors to stand in the gap for my lost children. These intercessors will feel the heat of the battle and be burned by it. The forces of hell will come against them and attack them, yet I will be with them and will hold on to them. Now, will you pray? Okay, I want to share one more with you. This is called The Assignment Has Changed by Holly Moody. Something strange happened to me a few weeks ago. I was contacted and invited to do something publicly that ordinarily my response would have been a quick no, for the simple reason that it would not have been something I would have been comfortable doing, and in the past was something I felt the Lord had no desire for me to do. This time, however, I felt a small hesitation in my spirit, and I prayed about it and felt the Lord said go ahead and accept this invitation. So I accepted the invitation, but in my heart I was secretly hoping the whole thing would fall through. Doing what I had been invited to do would require that I go beyond my physical abilities and limitations. And she has in parenthesis, my deafness. So evidently she's deaf, right? As well as my own reticence and not desiring to draw attention to myself. I continued to pray about this matter. I even set a fleece before the Lord, and I asked the Lord if this fleece wasn't met to immediately shut down this entire situation. And that is exactly what occurred. I had just ventured through this door and God closed it. And I have to admit that I felt a great deal of relief when God did close the door. Yet afterwards, as I was praying about this situation, I had to wonder why it had appeared that this invitation was something the Lord had asked me to accept, only to have the door closed at the very moment of the invitation being performed. Immediately the Spirit spoke to me and said, "The assignment has changed." "What assignment, Lord?" I asked. "There are many of my children," the Lord replied, "whom I have brought to a sudden and abrupt halt in what they have been doing for me. And now they are bewildered and unsure of what I am asking them to do for me today." So Holly's kind of standing in for these people, right? "They sense that a change has occurred and are seeking how to implement this change in their lives and in their ministries. And what I asked them to do yesterday is no longer what I am asking them to do for the kingdom today. Now, I think the time is almost here for the fulfillment of this revelation." Many times revelations come and they appear in the present, but they are a revelation that has to get out to people, and as that gets out to the people that are involved, then it comes to pass, right? "And I have changed their assignment." Verse given, 1 Samuel 16 and 1. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. And this is, of course, something we know is coming to an end, too. The Saul ministries are going to give way to the David ministries, which is the man-child ministry. I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And that was, of course, David. And he represents Jesus in his time and many prophets in the past times, all the way back to Moses and people. And he also represents a corporate body in this time, since the body of Christ is a corporate body. And what is the new assignment, Lord? I asked. The new assignment is one of forgiveness and restoration, the Lord replied. Jeremiah 1:10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, and to build, and to plant. Those things which before I laid on the hearts of many of my servants to perform, the Lord continued, to root out sin, and to pull down, and to destroy that which was not of me, is no longer what I am requiring of them to do. I am now requiring from them to build anew, according to my will, that which was torn down. Again, we must be born again, right? That means the old man has to die so that the new man can take his place. Is that not right? Okay. He went on to say, I am requiring them to plant anew in ground that has been broken up and uprooted. Yes, break up your fallow ground so that it will receive the seed of the Word of God. Many people have been taken into captivity. Many people have fallen away. Many people have been put under judgment. Many people have been turned over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. And now God wants to do something for these. He said, this is a time for ingathering. The assignment now is to bring back those who have been wandering and have been alienated and isolated from the rest of the flock, to heal those in need of healing, to bind up that which is broken, and to break the bands off those whom have been oppressed. Isaiah 56:8, the Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him, besides those that are gathered unto him. In Isaiah 58:6, 7, and 12. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Could this be why the Lord had us fasting for 40 days? Verse 7, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Okay, awesome. You got the bread? Are you eating the bread? You got to be able to have it in you before it can come out of you to them, right? And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, and when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Verse 12, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. How will this assignment be accomplished, Lord? I asked. By those who pray it forth, the Lord replied. I then experienced a brief mini-vision. In this mini-vision, I saw individual people as well as small groups of people praying. These people were enclosed and were praying in rooms that were lacking in beauty. These rooms were hidden rooms, unknown and unobserved by most eyes. The people praying in these rooms were also unknown and unobserved by most eyes. When these people entered into their prayer rooms, I noticed that they were enveloped in brown capes. Yet once they entered within their prayer room and began to pray, their capes would change into all the colors of the rainbow. That's the nature of Jesus, isn't it? As I watched these people praying in these seemingly insignificant rooms, I noticed a glow within the room. I also saw that as the people prayed, their countenances began to shine. Woohoo! Praise God. Exodus 34 and 30. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. Who are these people, Lord? I asked. They are my unseen warriors, the Lord replied. They do battle through prayers that no ears hear except my ears. They seek not to be known of man, but to be known of me. And what they may accomplish in public for my name is secondary to what they accomplish in private through their prayers unto me. Prayers come first, saints. You can go out there and do, but it won't be God unless you lay that foundation of prayer. This is their assignment, which they have gladly received from my hand. They have relinquished any desire to be known or to be praised by others for what they do for me. To be prepared for this assignment, I took them through times of intense suffering and trials. This was to bring them fully to a place of brokenness and of crucifying their flesh and fleshly desires. They were bruised by the things they endured, yet they remained faithful. Isaiah 42 and 3, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. For others, their assignment for me will be different. The Lord continued, their assignment will require them to be seen of men, yet they will remain humble and without pride while doing my will. They will not be seeking to be known, but to have my will become, known. At times their words will not be accepted or understood. Their motives will be questioned because for some it will be as if they had done a complete turnaround. I have given them the assignment of turning hearts. Their assignment is to bring together those who have been divided, to bring peace where there has been turmoil, to bring reconciliation where there has been enmity, and to bring wholeness to what has been broken, and to bring healing to where there has been sickness. Malachi 4 and 6. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The new assignments will not come without resistance, the Lord said to me. The enemy will not easily allow those whom have been divided in times past to become reunited without his trying to keep the wedges in place. It is the enemy's desire to keep my children separated one from another, separated by misunderstanding, separated by wrongs which have been committed. The enemy will seek to keep alive disunity and discord and unforgiveness. The plans of the enemy will be overcome through the private prayers of those whom I have shown unto you. I am asking those to whom I am assigned to be my private prayer warriors to seek their hearts to see if they are able to allow themselves to be unseen, unknown, unheralded in order to do my will. Matthew 6 and 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Yes, child, the Lord said to me, the assignment has changed. Both those whom will be seen and those whom will not be seen will be working for the same purpose and goal. They are both needed. They have both been prepared for their new assignment. Let them be filled with my spirit and arise and go and do what I have assigned them to do. Oh, praise God. Now, let me just add this one point. The reason I say I believe this particular thing is coming. We have received quite a few dreams warning us that the faction would feign repentance in order to deceive and impart their spirits to people. And in the dreams, we've also received instructions to tell them to go and talk to David. The reason God has instructed the brethren to do this, to send these people who feign repentance to David, is because if they've repented, they'll be able to do that. If they haven't repented, they will refuse to do that. So that's just something I add there, because I do believe that this is coming now. This change of assignment is coming now and is going to be fulfilled in a restoration and a bringing together of the people of God. Remember what Jesus said, that they will be one flock and one shepherd. And God will fulfill this. It's His zeal that will bring this to pass. And Father, we just ask You in the name of Jesus to fulfill in our hearts the seriousness of this time, to pray in these things, and to pray in this change of assignment, to pray in the people who have been in apostasy and in apostate Christian religions, which are not Christian at all, that they would see the need to walk in the steps of Jesus and the power of the gospel to set them free from their fleshly old man, and the fact that they have, in a way, gone through a Red Sea experience when they were saved, that they were baptized unto death in the sea, and the old man's power over them is broken, and that now they are free from sin, according to Romans chapter 6. And we are to reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. And that we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. All the good confession of faith that gives us the power to walk in the steps of Jesus. The gospel. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image, from glory to glory, even as from the Lord, the Spirit. And that phrase actually began with, "But we all with an unveiled face." See, we must pray the unveiled face so that those in apostasy can understand that all they have to do is receive this free gift from God. They can behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Meaning that's a good confession that Paul gave. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We are incorporating the life of Christ when we walk by faith. We know that we can walk on a higher level than the world and the worldly church when we walk by faith. And if we don't walk by faith, we miss out, because faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not seen. And remember what Jesus said. All things that you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, and you shall have them. Now notice, He said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. Believing you received is what faith is all about. Acting on the things that you see in the world or see in the natural mirror is going to cause you to fail. You must accept what God has given as the reconciliation, which means exchange of Christ's life for your life. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. He's talking about saving you from sin, saving you from corruption, saving you from condemnation, and saving you from hell. And without bearing fruit, there is no salvation from hell. You say, well, what about when you're first saved and you're just a baby? Well, faith is accounted as righteousness in that case. But a person who doesn't continue on and their faith bear fruit in righteousness was never walking in faith in the first place. There's an old saying, faith that fizzles out at the finish was flawed from the first, right? True. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for being with us today and for putting in us this desire to pray and to get alone in the prayer closet and pray and believe for these people that are in need of understanding the same things that we've understood, that we've been walking with concerning the Word of Life. Lord, many of your people are in darkness. We cry out to them, Lord. They are being taken to hell by their foolish leadership because they don't believe that we are to bear the fruit of Christ. They just believe we are to be forgiven, which is false. They had that in the Old Testament. They had forgiveness. But the law couldn't make perfect. So that's why Christ came along. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. We accept this free gift. We are no longer going to confess that we are sinners saved by grace. We are going to confess that we are saved. We were sinners, but now we are saved. We are delivered from sin and its power. We're delivered out of the power of darkness. And Satan has no more power and authority over us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for doing a great work in all of us and helping us to pray without ceasing. Lord, it is your command to pray without ceasing. We should be praying everywhere we go, everywhere we are, in our prayer closet too, and even praying within our mind and within our hearts is like being in a prayer closet. And we thank you, Father, for doing that in us and working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Lord, we desire earnestly to be pleasing unto you. We desire earnestly to keep people back from the rim of that dark hole, that pit that your word talks about, Hades. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you put the fervency and understanding of this in our hearts that we can pray like Holly did for her loved ones, like everyone was a loved one. Because, Lord, you don't want people to go to hell. You don't want us to be guilty of not doing our job either. So thank you, Father, for doing this for us in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Good night, saints. God bless you.